Resistance is futile. The revolution has begun.
You're listening to Rebelpreneur Radio, helping you break the rules and build the business you need for the life you want. And now, broadcasting his pirate signal
from somewhere beyond the status quo,
here's your host, best-selling author, marketing and media strategist, Ralph Brogdon.
Hello and welcome to Rebelpreneur Radio. It's the show that helps you build the business you need so you can live the life you want. I am Ralph Brogdon. The power of purpose. I'm a big believer in purpose. As a strategist, strategy builds the bridge between purpose and result, between where you're at, where you are now, and where you want to go. So as a strategist, before I can give you a strategy, I have to know what your purpose is. What's your destination? Where are you going? What are you trying to achieve? Then I can work backwards and say, okay, the best way to get to where you want to be and fulfill your purpose, here's a strategy. And now here are the action steps you need to take to accomplish that strategy. But it really begins with the purpose. And what I teach people is that you need to be firm with your purpose and flexible with your approach. Firm with your purpose, flexible with your strategy. You may not get there the way you thought you were going to get there, but never give up on your purpose. Never give up on your dream. Today's guest on Rebelpreneur is an expert on purpose. I'm here with Leah Dunlap. She is the Oracle on purpose. The Oracle. It sounds like the Matrix, right? The Oracle on purpose. With over 25 years of experience as an intuitive business architect, she has guided thousands of clients in 76 countries to find their divine path to purpose and prosperity. She is a best-selling author and international speaker and creator of the Power Plan Life Coaching Program. Leah, welcome to Rebelpreneur Radio.
Thanks so much for having me. Well, Ralph, I'm so happy to be here. And I love what you said about purpose. I could talk about this forever. And I know we don't have a lot of time. So I'm excited for sharing all of the things purposeful with your audience today.
I can't wait. I've got my eyes open, my ears open, and I'm ready to just download everything I can from you about purpose. Tell us, before we get into that and then we can't stop talking, let's take a minute and bring us up to speed on who you are, where you came from, and how you became this oracle of purpose.
Well, let's see. The best place to start is probably a little bit from the beginning, and then we'll do some fast forwarding. But, you know, when I was 14 years old, I found out that I had a unique intuitive gift. And I learned that I could speak to an oracle who shared ideas, concepts, answers to me about my family, about my friends. And with that, I often help them get out of tough spots. And so I went off on my journey through high school, because this was back in high school, and thought I would be a psychologist, because of course I was helping people all the time. So I thought, there you go, perfect combination. My parents were happy because I was doing something professional. And I was happy because I was helping people. Mm-hmm. And so for many years, that's what I did. And then I found a split in that path, because when I went into psychology, they told me that it would take years for someone to get help, make any changes. And it just didn't align. For me, everything inside of me screamed, nope, that's not, there's got to be a better way. So to make my parents happy, as I was going through school, I was in the corporate world. I worked in sales, marketing, operations, and I climbed the corporate ladder because of my gift. Because I could sit in a room with anyone, know what, as you mentioned, the purpose of people's internal purpose was behind what they were trying to get accomplished, and help them figure out how to do that. So I did that for many years. In the background, though, this part of my life, this intuitive gift, kept nudging at me to really express and help people. So on one side, I'm off doing weekend retreats and holistic things. During the day, I'm working, you know, for the man, as it were, until finally, you know, the culmination of all of these stretches came to what I'd like to call my 2x4 moment. And I thought that I was having a heart attack, and ended up in my then manager's office in a sales position, pacing around, waiting to get permission to go to the hospital. And that was that light bulb moment in my life where it's like, this is not like, obviously everything is telling me enough. Like, this is enough.
Yeah.
So after that,
was it a heart attack or was it a panic attack?
It was actually something completely different brought on by the panic attack, right? Okay. Brought on by the stress and the pressure.
Stress.
It was a medical thing, not a heart attack, but it was something that I could, get handled. And I took some time off work to do that.
Good.
And the day that I decided I wasn't going back to work was the day that my boss then had sent me a message with all the things that he wanted me to do before I got back. And my reply on that text was, I'm not coming back. And I literally chucked the phone across the room because I couldn't believe I'd done that. And that's when I made the decision. And I think that going back to what we talked about originally, and we're starting to talk about it, is like, I knew that my purpose was bigger than what I was creating in this stretched version of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And by having that time, to step away from everything and really be by myself because I was recovering, I got to hear what that was. And it really was helping people. So I threw up my shingle and I started my business. And I started out because I also had gone to hypnotherapy school. So I started out as a hypnotherapist. I'm a clinical certified hypnotherapist. And utilizing my gift, it gave me the power to really dive into the part of the work that I loved, which was purpose. Like, I wanted to help people understand that they didn't have to get where I got to really do what they were meant to do. That they didn't have to hit that 2x4 moment to make the choice themselves to find a path that really mattered to them, that fulfilled them, that they gave them not only the chance to be who they really were, but to prosper. So that's when I started working back in the book that the program is built on was in 2008, the bestseller in 2008. And ever since then, I've never worked for anyone else. I have continued to put out into the world the notion that if you are really, truly unsatisfied in your work and you are at that wit's end, there is another way, a better way, a more purposeful, fulfilling, happy, and still prosperous way to live your life. And I get the joy every day of getting to help people figure that out, what that is and how they can do it.
Wonderful. And you've been doing this how many years now since you first took that big leap of faith?
Yeah. So this has been now. So if we go from that day that I left the other job, I say it would be we're at 15 years now.
Okay.
And altogether, when I was doing it on the side, I'm now at my 30th year of like leading retreats and workshops and things like that since 1994.
So you've worked with a lot of people. You've seen a lot. You've done a lot.
I've seen a lot. Yes.
So, but before I get into who you help and how you help them, tell us a little bit about your business journey. What was it like starting out, basically just telling your boss, "See ya," and now all of a sudden you're trying to get clients? I mean, what was that like? What were some of the first steps that you did to get traction in those first weeks and months?
Yeah, the very first part of what I had to do was really start speaking to the people that I was already reaching out to on the side. And many of the clients that I work with are similar. It's like, you're already doing this. You're already talking to people. You're already sharing your gift, whatever it is. So I started with, basically referrals at first. I found a location where I could have a partnership with an organization. It's a clinic here in the Portland area. And they had an office space. So, it was a good fit. And there were referrals coming from them as far as people that needed additional kind of support mentally that they were doing.
You actually met with people face to face then?
Back in the day.
So you had the office space and the come in and sit. Wow.
Yes. And I'll tell you, that was a big push. So I wrote the book first, but that was kind of like, I mean, take this book and bring it to life in front of people. So I wanted, and this is probably helpful too, I wanted testimonials. I wanted people that walk through it with me that I could use and say, hey, I've walked them through this process.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, wanted to do that. I was living in an apartment. I certainly couldn't do it in my apartment. So I found this subletted office space within it was like a chiropractor's health clinic. And so because I could speak to the people that were in the clinic, the massage therapist, the doctors and such. As a clinical hypnotherapist, I was helping some of the, you know, they were getting referrals or giving me referrals and vice versa. And that was my way to have a location, but it was also my way to start building, you know, my network, my sphere of influence in the area, locally. And then because of the beauty of the internet, I was able to just continue while I had that space to promote and market online and market the book and, you know, do programs with the book online. And that kind of became my initial marketing structure and business structure.
Yeah.
Was so, a little bit of both, hybrid effect.
So you're old school. Today when people, they start their coaching practice, you find out about it when they make a post on Facebook, hey, I'm a coach now, or I just got my certification, yeah, or hey, I'm looking for clients. And there's none of the expense and the energy and the stress of, I got to find office space, I got to set this up, I got to get people in the door. I mean, it's like starting a restaurant, but you're not serving food, you're serving people, you're serving your expertise, but you got to get people to come into where you are and see you and pay you. And so today you can bypass all of that and just put it out on the interwebs, and all of a sudden you get these people from all over the world. So you did it old school, and then you evolved and you added in the digital. Do you still meet with people face to face now, or is it totally online?
You know, it's interesting you say that. I literally just signed a new office lease. It's interesting because I feel like what I miss from the one-on-one and being in person is the ability to sit like this face to face. And what I notice is a lot of people have most recently spoken about the idea of like missing that connection point, missing the face to face opportunities.
How about that?
So it still, I feel like, gives me the opportunity to both, as obviously we're here on Zoom. Many of my clients are still on Zoom, but I can now hold live events here in my space that I'm in. We're doing one this weekend. And that gives me a little bit of everything, a little bit of the best of both worlds, I think.
Yeah.
And I still like go out to live networking events as well. So I think it's a good combination. And we do have more available to us. And sometimes I think that can be distracting if we don't pick our lanes. And to me, it's a little bit of both is kind of just my sweet spot.
Yeah. I like that because my concern is that coaches, consultants, people trying to sell services, especially helping services, a lot of them are, my impression is that they are kind of hiding behind the computer. They want to automate their marketing, automate their sales processes, put people in a group coaching program that's hands off. And like, I think things are evolving beyond that. I don't think that is sustainable.
Oh, I 1,000% agree. I have been in enough rooms myself. I do have group online programs. And I do think that that's something that people have gotten, you know, the blushes off the vine, if you will. Like, it felt really good because it seemed really easy, except that it's one of those things that once everybody's doing it, it very much like Zoom right now becomes a little bit tried, a little bit less effective because people are tired of not feeling like they're being seen in a sea of hundreds of people on tiny little screens. So even though I do that, I have very small groups. That's the one thing I've kept consistent, is that I won't have a group of 100 or 200 people for a very specific reason. I want people to feel like they're seen. And that's the one thing I hear back from people. Even though they're in a Zoom room, I can catch either a visual change in them, a tell, if you will. I can catch something in their throat when they're speaking. I really see them and I'm aware of everybody that's in the room at one time. And I don't think that's as easy when people get into those huge, huge telesummits or things like that where they're just lost.
Yeah.
And so I think that's, you know, I think that's a little bit of both. And I do believe you're right. Coaches that start out with the idea that they don't have to do that connection work are missing the point of coaching. That's my two cents.
Yeah, that's good. And it's all about the connection. And, you know, the flip side of that is with the internet, with Zoom, everything online, you're able to connect with people, or let's say you have the potential to connect with people online that you would have never connected with in person. I mean, where are you located? Where's your office and your work?
My office is in Portland, Oregon. It's just in the Southwest Hills of Portland, Oregon.
Okay.
But I work with clients in, well, the older clients that I used to do my old program, but right now I have clients in, Scotland. Right now she comes and visits in our meetings. And she's like 8 hours ahead of us.
Yeah.
Right. So there's like the flexibility of that, of her being able to pop in and be with us still from where she is.
Yeah.
I work with people in Thailand and other places as well in Canada. It does make the world smaller and the opportunities larger. Mm. And I still think that we still need to remember that it, no matter what, it's about the connection we make one way or the other.
Yeah. That's where I was going. It's, you can have connections with people in places that you're never physically going to connect. Or you talk to people, you have the opportunity to impact people in ways that you could not have even known they were there. They didn't know you. I've never been to Portland, Oregon. I would not have had the opportunity to cross paths with you apart from the internet. So then the challenge becomes, and then we'll get into purpose. But always looking at the psychology of this and where are we going as coaches and consultants? It's always the challenge of then how do you create transformation in people when you're not there face to face? So how can we optimize those connections, whether it's online, whether it's in person, so that we don't just become so comfortable and lazy and just kind of lackadaisical about the whole process and miss that one-on-one connection. I think that's the million-dollar question. I think people who succeed will have figured out how to do that. And I think one key that you brought up is the small group format. All right, there's a place where you put 1,000 people in a webinar, right, for information, but or education, put them in a course. But if you want transformation, put them in a small group, put them in a coach, and either one-on-one or one to a few instead of one to many. Maybe that's what we need to be focusing on here for transformation effect.
I believe so. I believe that the one-to-many, there is a place for it. You're right. And I think that you hit a point, which is education can be delivered in mass. And transformation takes time, and it takes an energetic that is different in the fact that you have to slow down, right? You have to slow down and look for the signs. You have to look for the tells, if you will. And you have to be aware of the exchanges. And that's an energy thing. And I think that does take time, and it takes you to be able to process individuals within a smaller group to do that. And the other thing that I will say that happens in larger Zoom rooms is how many people have their screens off. Why? Because they're doing 27 other things. That's the other downside to Zoom. Like, you can't always know that the information you're providing is getting across if someone's only listening through it a lens of 16 other things that they're running on at the same time.
Very interesting. Very interesting. I can see where we could really go in depth in this. And how do we optimize the psychological and transformative impact of connecting online versus connecting in person, doing both? How do we take the best of this and this, put it together? I think that's people who figure that out. They're going to make a huge impact.
Way.
Yeah. Yep. Huge difference in the world. So let's talk about your transformation, which is to help people find their purpose, discover their purpose. What is your philosophy around the purpose itself?
Yeah. So to me, the biggest thing is, I mean, if I get down to it, it's to help people find and follow their purpose to prosperity. That's it. Like, that's the core and the function. How that presents for people typically is they lack the clarity or the confidence or the spiritual guidance to know they're on the right path. And so for me, it's one of the three, or all of the three sometimes, when people show up at my door. And with business owners, that's who I primarily work with. I work with entrepreneurs, business owners, and women leaders who may or may not be at the upper echelon of the C-suite kind of a thing. But what the one kind of underlying piece that they come to is this idea of clarity and purpose tied together. And what I mean by that is they're feeling like they've been climbing a ladder to nowhere, right? Like they're just chugging along, or they feel like they've done great things in their lives and there's something bigger and more to expand into, but they're not quite sure what that is and how to get there. So for me, it's a little bit of both sometimes for people, but primarily I always bring it back right back down to purpose. My clear focus is that if we know what our purpose is, it is basically the cornerstone. And by purpose, I mean the thing you were designed to be here for. There's a 1 in 400 quadrillion with a Q, quadrillion chance that you exist. That's not an accident to me. So therefore, you were meant to do something here. So if we figure out what that is and why you're here, then we can build whatever you'd like from that point. We can build, you know, your monument to the skies. I don't care. What it will take is it becomes the thing that you balance what you're working on, your options, your choices, your decisions, so that every time you make a choice and decision, you're so aligned with it that the clarity is there, right? The confidence is there. You're able to stand against the buffeting of change, which, hello, we are constantly experiencing external change. So those three things really become that three-legged stool that help us to stand up in the world and present and fulfill our purpose here and show up the way the world needs us to.
You've been doing this for many years now. What would you say is the biggest obstacle? I mean, over and over again, you hear people say, I don't know what my purpose is. What's my purpose? I'm unfulfilled. It's almost a universal issue. And my question I always ask is, why is that? Why is this a problem for so many people? Why is it such a struggle?
The reason it not having an idea of what your purpose is such a struggle for people is that behind that is the sense that they're not worthy. They're not worthy. And if they don't believe that they're worthy, then they can't tie themselves to something that they're here to be doing in the first place. So typically the first stumbling block we go over is to understand that key factor that as long as you are breathing, you're worthy. You already won the lottery. I promise you, no one can make more in a lottery than you made the first second you took your breath.
Yeah. What'd you say? 400 quadrillion or four?
1 in 400 quadrillion. That's the number.
400 quadrillion.
And that's like a four. Now you may make this wrong. Is there 17 or 19? 17 zeros behind it.
Wow. Right?
17. Like, I mean, if you just look at that number, you know, I always joke, I'm going to get a t-shirt that just has that number on it. And people are going to ask me, and I'm going to say, that's you. That's what you are. And so let's talk about that in the sense of it can't be an accident. And if it's not an accident and there's a purpose, and even if you believe whatever your spiritual vein is, if you believe in anything, then something decided to say yes to you being here. Mm.
So the message is you are not an accident. You're not here by chance. You're not here by fate, not here by luck. You're here by divine intention. Now, I define that a certain way. You may define it differently, but the point is we are here. All of us are here for a purpose. So then it becomes this wonderful journey. Now, is it, I say wonderful, for a lot of people, it's very frustrating. They get to be my age and still don't know what their purpose is. So that's what I'm trying to dial into. Why is it such, is it societal? I was going to say evolution. Maybe it's devolution.
Well, I think it's. Yeah, I think it is that, you know, it's not. Well, this could go a long way. So I'm going to try and condense this. It is communal and it is created in our system, in our society, because control was key. And to give everyone the veracity to have their own purpose means you can't necessarily control what they're going to do with it. So I think a part of this is societally, in order to control people, we put parameters around purpose as if it was something that somebody had to give you. Somebody had to tell you what your purpose was. They had to push you on a path, maybe a doctor, a lawyer, this or that. These things are better than those things.
In other words, it's like this. Sit down, shut up. I'll tell you what your purpose is. And don't try to grow a brain and rebel against me or rebel against the system or rebel against the institution. That's what the whole rebelpreneur mindset is all about. We are going to find out what the rules are. Then we're going to break the rules and build the business we need so we can live the life we want. And not knowing your purpose, possibly, it's what it sounds like is you've got to even break the rules about what society told you your purpose is, what your mom and dad said, what your mentors are saying, what your teachers were saying when you were growing up, and what society judges you to be as your purpose. You've got to discover that for yourself and have the fortitude and the guts to say, this is why I'm here and this is what I'm doing. And that's it. I mean, that's what creates the breakthrough. That's what creates the transformation. It gets you out of mediocrity and into mastery.
Exactly. That's the thing that puts you on the right path to do just that. And it takes courage to stand, you know, like you said, as a rebel, it takes courage to be the first person through the veil. But the thing about it is, you're in our society right now, we always have moments where that swell of inspiration that comes intuitively from inside of us becomes its own mass experience. And people start looking at each other and thinking, are you thinking what I'm thinking? Because I feel like this might be true. And then others are like, oh, wait, the emperor has no clothes. You know, these kinds of thoughts come through, and it takes courage and it takes leadership of not do what I'm doing, but do what you're meant to do. And I will honor that in you, and I will support you in that, and I will guide you through the process. It's not do what I do.
Yeah.
It's not do what I say. Right? It's be who you be. Mm-hmm. And when you are, then we can show you, like, there's a different path than, as you said, the typical expected path. And we maybe don't even have to break any rules. We just create our own.
Yeah.
And move on.
Yeah. Yeah. Or just the rules are irrelevant at that point.
Yeah.
I was listening to Eric Thomas the other day talking about comfort zone. It's like, I'm so beyond my comfort zone. I don't even have a comfort zone. What comfort zone? It just doesn't exist anymore. I mean, when you become that focused on purpose and mission and why I am here, it's like fear. What's fear? You can't, you become unstoppable at that point. Because of what you said. Purpose, when you know your purpose, it brings clarity. Clarity brings confidence. Someone who doesn't know, who is confused, they can't be confident about anything that they do. But with knowing that purpose comes confidence, comes the clarity, comes the assurance. You mentioned that the feeling of not being worthy, and that's so true. The way I express it is, uncovering your value, which is the same thing, value and worth.
Yeah.
And with all the clients that I work with and the business owners that I work with, most of them undervalue their worth. They're too close to themselves to see what they are really capable of, the transformation that they can really have, the impact, the influence, the income that they're capable of, but they're too close to themselves to be able to see that has value. Your opinion has value. Your attitude has value. Your perspective, your paradigm, your purpose has value to other people. But if you don't see it and appreciate it, and then the next step is communicate it to other people, you can't communicate it if you don't appreciate it. But when you value your worth and then you put a value on it, now we've got the financial piece. Now we've got the money to finance the mission. We have the profit to fulfill the purpose. And now we can turn this into a movement. I just get really excited hearing you talk about this stuff.
Absolutely. And that last piece, that's my jam too. I agree. Yeah. Like when we get people, like the funny thing is when people tell me like, and I work primarily with women, so this is it may or may not be true for everyone, but I know that for many women that I've worked with over the years, it is oddly the opposite in a way, which is that the saddest part is that women believe that their value is financial instead of the value of the work that they do being financial. The value of themselves is financial. Mm-hmm. And to me, it's disassembling that and saying your purpose has value because it's meant to do something in the world.
Yeah.
You have value because you exist.
That's good.
Period. Nothing else. You have to do that. But the purpose is there to allow you to create value in the world. And the transactions that we create in our world are monetary. That's just the way it goes. That's how we work with each other. Yeah. There is a financial flow that happens.
Money isn't everything, but it's how we measure. That's how most people measure it.
It is the tool with which we measure, not even just success, but it's the tool we measure with transactions. And so the transactions are there and the purpose is there. And the purpose and the fulfillment of that purpose, you wouldn't have been given the purpose itself without the financial backing. Mm. Like if you just, I'm going to go like a little gaudy on you for a second, but if God created everything and God created you and your purpose, why would that entity not allow for the financial backing for it to be fulfilled? It wants to be fulfilled through you.
Yeah.
So like even from that perspective, because people go there with me and I'm like, let's lay that out. It doesn't even make sense.
Yeah. Well, with the purpose comes the provision. With the purpose is the provision. With the provision is the prosperity.
Already built in.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so you have to allow yourself to see it that way. But the problem is people get tangled up because they have low self-worth for whatever reason. And that's a whole other story. But because of that, then they won't fulfill their purpose because they don't see the value in the purpose. And it's the opposite. Mm. And so I feel like when we can extricate those two things, then people see that just by showing up, they're good. You're solid. You're golden. And as you fulfill your purpose, you will be sustained, mightily sustained. Mm. Prosperity has to be brought through you to get that fulfilled.
Yeah.
It takes money for everything to come through this to fruition. It takes the money. And the money will be there if you are really aligned and doing your purpose work.
Wonderful. Wonderful. I love it. So someone listening to this, if we wanted to give them some self-help, what's one thing they could do right now to begin to move in this direction of finding and following their purpose? What would you suggest they do?
Well, the three things that I would suggest for anyone who's like, okay, so I really want to get clear on my purpose and this path to prosperity. Where do I start? And so it's really simple. Always I would like to say there are lots of simple things I can share with you. Not always easy, but definitely simple. And these are three things. Number one, it requires that you determine your core spiritual qualities. What I mean by that is I don't care what deity whatever you believe in, what does it mean to you that that exists? So what are those core, quote unquote, spiritual qualities that you believe in? Not what anybody else told you, but what you actually believe about that. That's number one. The second thing is to figure out, what are you doing now? Take stock of what all your functions and your roles are in your life. And this is a fun project because this is where we really start to kind of look at ourselves again, kind of separating that veil, if you will, of like what makes me worthy, what do I do in the world? So we take stock of everything we do, and that could be every single role you fulfill. So if you're a woman, because mostly I work with women, like, are you the nanny? Are you the breadwinner? Are you the person who washes, like you're the dishwasher? You're all these things. Write everything you can down. I tell people, if you don't get 20, you haven't done it. You're not done yet, but you probably get at least 20 things that you do. Most of us do on a regular basis. And then look at that and compare, where in those roles are you fulfilling those spiritual qualities in your life? Compare the two, match them up. And then look at the things in that list that don't have very many spiritual qualities attached to them. And the third step is my absolute favorite, because this is where people start to really become more aligned and a lot lighter and a lot more intentional. And the next one is to review that list and do what I call delete, delegate, automate. Looking at that list, determining for yourself, now that you see yourself outside of anybody else's constructs, and say, wow, I can really see that when I do these 5, 6, 7 things, everything that I think is attuned with the highest whatever order of things is in that activity. And maybe there's like 5 or 6 or 7 or maybe 10 where there's like one spiritual quality or no spiritual qualities. So then you delete them, you delegate them, you automate them. Because any of those places where you are not taking care of your connection to this purpose, you are really depleting it. You are taking energetically away from yourself. You're burning out, right? You know, you can't give, they say you can't give from an empty cup, but this is where that empty cup comes from. So we want to make sure that when you want to see at the end of this picture where your purpose lies, you'll see it plain as day. And I've done this so many times over the years. It, you know, I have a form that people can fill out to show you what that looks like, but primarily those are the 3 steps. And by the time you get finished, I love people's faces when I do this in person, because their jaws just hit the ground. Like sometimes they'll be like, it's like so ridiculously obvious that I'm spending 70% of my life doing things that are absolutely draining me.
Yeah.
And just by moving those out of the way, what also comes clear is here's the sweet spot. This is your purpose. These are the things that allow you to fulfill that purpose. And I've had people just walk away with that and send me messages back after I've had an interview or something or been on a podcast and be like, how did I not see this? Right? How did I not see how much time, which is the only thing we all have together, right? Time that I've been wasting on things that aren't really fulfilling me and aren't giving me the chance to really do something in the world that makes an impact. Mm.
And that's why we need coaches. We need people who are gifted specifically to help with these key areas in life. So, hey, you know, you can take the approach of spending your whole life trying to figure things out, or you can work with someone who has already done the work, figured it out, and can help you and assist you in whatever it is you need. But I think purpose is so foundational. It is the cornerstone. If you can get that piece in clarity and confidence, everything else, it seems, becomes very clear as you get on that path. So how can people reach out, find out more about you and about your work? What's the best way to get in touch with you?
They can just hop onto the website. It's really easy. It's oracleonpurpose.com, just all spelled out. And there's a lot of opportunities there to either speak with me, look at some of these tools and resources that you can download themselves.
Wonderful. Oracleonpurpose.com is the website. We'll have that linked on the Rebelpreneur website as well. Our time is, it got gone. It went really, really fast. Before I let you go, though, what are you working on right now that's got you really excited that you want to share with our listeners?
Well, you know, I'm so excited right now because one of the things that we've been doing for many years, and I finally brought back most recently virtually, is my Purpose and Prosperity Accelerator. It's a 3-month program that allows people to work on what their purpose is and tie it to all of their goals. And we walk them through their entire life for 3 months, building on that purpose and building goals that are attached to it so that they can really make some major shifts and transformations in a short amount of time. We'll be starting one again in January, so we'll be opening up the doors for those soon. So we're getting all ready to line people up and get them going.
Yeah, because that's when people naturally start thinking about it. Oh, new year, new goals. And if you don't do something different to what you've always done, which is set the goal, and then 2 weeks later, you're right back where you were. If you want that to not repeat itself, if you want a different outcome, you need a different approach, go to oracleonpurpose.com, find out about this program, because the main thing, I think you'll agree, regardless of where you go and what you subscribe to, the main thing here is accountability. Being in a group with other people, with peers, with someone, a coach who's going to hold you accountable. There's different ways you can set that up, but it's hard to just hold yourself accountable.
I agree.
It's almost impossible to hold yourself. If we could all hold ourselves accountable for our results, we wouldn't have all the problems we have, and we would not need help. But the fact is, we have problems. We do need help. One of the biggest things that coaching and programs like this does for you is builds in accountability, builds in feedback. So you are 10 times more likely to succeed with something like this as opposed to trying to figure it out yourself. That's what everybody else is doing. And if you don't want that result, then go check out this program. Wow. Leah, so much you have shared. It's been a really powerful experience just to speak with you and to get your insight on purpose. Any final thoughts or words of wisdom you'd like to leave our listeners with?
Yes. Thank you so much again, Ralph, for having me here. The idea about purpose, I think, is one thing that you just touched on is we are not designed to be alone, right? I always joke, like you just said, like if we were meant to be alone, we could scratch our own backs, right? We are literally designed to be here together, to share and support each other. And your purpose isn't about you. Your purpose is about what you're bringing to the table of the community of humanity. And it needs for you to bring yourself to the process. There's been no other like you ever. And your purpose matters because we need it. Each of us, we need to bring it and we need to receive it. So just remember, wherever you are, so you're listening to this, you are no accident. You are definitely here on purpose.
Wonderful words of wisdom from Leah Dunlap. She is the founder and the wisdom behind OracleOnPurpose.com. She is an intuitive business architect for over 25 years. And in addition to all of that, she is a best-selling author, international speaker, creator of the Power Plan Life Coaching Program. She will set you up. She will hook you up and she will get you right. So, Leah, thank you so much for being on Rebelpreneur Radio today and sharing your wisdom with us. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you so much, Rob.
You've been listening to Rebelpreneur Radio with Ralph Brogdon. Download the show notes and much more at rebelpreneur.com.